A recent real estate study showed that Los Angeles has the most unaffordable housing in the entire country. The median price of a home here just topped $900,000. Needless to say, that means home ownership is becoming a pipe dream for many people. But while a solution to the big picture may take decades, there are some small pieces of the puzzle coming together every day. One of the big puzzle pieces is Habitat for Humanity. The Affordable Home Ownership Program works with volunteers, corporations, and donors to make home ownership possible for low-income families and individuals. Most recently, they purchased vacant homes in El Cerrito, which will be rehabbed and offered to those who could otherwise never afford them. Another small puzzle piece comes to us from the Fullerton School District. That's where a junior high school woodworking class constructed a tiny home that may soon house a struggling local family. Philanthropy and work skills, too. Can't beat that. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. For years, a section of Los Angeles County between the 210 and 710 freeways lived in limbo. The project to bridge the gap between the two freeways, turning them into a seamless highway, was abandoned years ago, but homes originally purchased by the state's transportation department have languished, in some cases remain vacant, and largely have been awaiting demolition. Now, though, a new plan could rehabilitate those houses and give chance for home ownership to low-income residents. A number of those properties are being picked up by Habitat for Humanity, which will refurbish them. And joining us right now to talk about that is the CEO for Habitat for Humanity in the San Gabriel Valley, Brian Wong. Good to see you, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us. You and I were out in El Cerrito recently looking at some of these homes your organization has purchased or is in the process of trying to purchase. And let's kind of set the stage here. There are literally hundreds of homes in this path, and a number of organizations are looking to do what you've done. The number, I believe, is 420. Is that right?
Somewhere in that area, yes. Good to see you again, Hal.
Good to see you. And so what about the various organizations that are trying to do what your organization is doing?
Sure. So originally, as you're well aware, this is a long process. Caltrans has been buying properties since the early 60s. As a matter of fact, one of the houses we're purchasing goes back to 1961. So there were a total of 17 different organizations that were approved by Caltrans to purchase homes in this swath of land between the 710 to replace the 710.
And that 17 organizations includes Habitat for Humanity.
That's correct. That's
and so
correct.
These organizations all are looking to purchase these, refurbish these, and make them available for people who can't really afford homes. That's what you've done. You've closed escrow on two of them. Tell me about,
yes.
I think you said you wanted to have somewhere between 15 and 20.
That's right. So we have been awarded 15 different properties, 11 with homes on them, 4 with vacant lots on them. And we're hoping to create between 20 and 25 affordable home ownership opportunities. This is really the big difference between us and many of the other participants in the area. They're looking to do affordable, very low income or low income rentals, and we're looking to do home ownership.
We looked at this one home that was on a corner. It was pretty decrepit. I mean, windows boarded up, vacant for years, off its foundation. Stairs were crooked. What do you do to these places? Do you have to level them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of these homes have been vacant for a long period of time, and they're in pretty bad shape. A lot of them are physically unsound. But, you know, what we do is we go through and we rehabilitate them ground up. And one of the things that Habitat prides itself on is to make sure that we don't change the character of the neighborhood. So we'll put in extra time and money to make sure that the houses are as they were meant to be, fit into the visual aspect of what the community looks like.
Let's see if my memory is correct here. What you're basically doing is price tagging these homes once finished at under $250,000. Am I right on that?
Yes.
And then what you're doing is you're putting these out for people to have, but somebody cannot buy these things and then flip them.
That's correct. So all these properties will go to first-time home buyers. They'll never spend more than 30% of their income on their mortgage. They will have a deed restriction on them that will keep these houses affordable for the next 45 years. So if, in fact, they do sell these properties, they must sell it to another affordable family.
You've already started working on these couple of homes you already closed escrow on, right?
We're trying. We're definitely out there and starting the process to make sure that they're ready to go.
Got a lot of volunteers ready to help you?
A lot. We can always use more. That is one of the trademarks of Habitat, is to have the community be a part of this entire process.
I think one thing a lot of people probably don't know or even understand is all of this was sort of preceded by legislation, the Roberti Act, and I believe there was another act that sort of set the groundwork for how this is to be done, because Caltrans was never designed to be a landlord, and yet in many of these homes, they are the organization accepting the rent for the people living inside. So now it's time to basically move Caltrans out of that business, get them back to what they do, and get organizations like your nonprofit doing what you do best?
Absolutely. So all of the homes that we've taken possession of are vacant. And they've been vacant from the time we entered into a purchase agreement all the way up until this point in time. And so now all of our time and effort is to get these houses into livable shape and to change some lives.
You know, there are some public meetings coming up that I know that you're looking forward to, because you're going to be presenting information about how you buy these homes. They're both in English and in Spanish. Well, why don't you explain that real quick?
Obviously, the sales price for having a mortgage of $225,000, where housing prices regularly exceed $800,000 to $900,000, makes it a very popular program. Remember, we don't give houses away. We sell houses, we make them affordable. That means you have to qualify for a mortgage. And so to get the guidelines, to understand what's going on and how it works and how we select the homeowners, we're gonna have a number of homeownership sessions, information sessions. One will be held on the 13th, another on the 22nd, as you mentioned, both in English and Spanish, at Barrio Action Youth and Family Center, right there in El Sereno.
All right, and you have a website that has that for people who may not have a pen in their hand?
It's sgvhabitat.org.
All right, Brian Wong, CEO of the San Gabriel Valley Habitat for Humanity. We'll be talking more with you in the next segment about what else Habitat for Humanity does in the community. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and back with us again is Brian Wong, the CEO for Habitat for Humanity in the San Gabriel Valley. You know, Brian, Habitat for Humanity has been around for quite some time. So give us a little Habitat 101, how long you've been around, what you do in the community, besides the project we just talked about.
Sure. The big picture is Habitat for Humanity was founded in 1976 by Linda and Millard Fuller. Around the mid-80s, our former president, Jimmy Carter, and his wife, Rosalind, became volunteers. And that's really what kickstarted off our organization. So they didn't found the organization, but they are clearly one of our most important volunteers.
He was probably your best pitch man, right?
Oh, no question about it. So much so that we have work projects every single year around the world called Carter Work Projects, not only in his honor, but it pulls people from all over the United States to a particular project to get it off the ground.
Well, yeah, you just don't build homes like that. What you do is you help maintain homes for people who may be facing challenges, right?
Well, we do that as well. You know, so part of what Habitat does is not only build house, which we're probably most well known for, but our real goal is to sustain affordable housing. That means that we do a lot of home repairs as well.
You know, when we talk about Jimmy and Rosalind Carter and the impact they've had on your group, Talk about for a moment the influence. I know you mentioned the inspiration for these projects, the Carter projects, but what did they do? Was it like a shot of B-12?
Absolutely. You know, it's really difficult, you know, when you think back and how difficult our political world is today, when you see a president take time out of their day because there is a cause that is so important, you can't help be attracted to it. You look into it, as you can see, you know, he's done two projects here in California, and they've had a dramatic impact. As the housing crisis in LA just continues to go through the roof, over $900,000 for a house, it's just not sustainable. We need to do things to drive these prices down.
Yeah, we talk about the former president, we talk about the former first lady, but there are many, 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 many volunteers that you have. What's the number of volunteers you have? And they're just as committed as the Carters.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in any given year, we'll have 1,000 people who are working on our various projects. As you can see through some of these pictures, we can't build these houses without them. We rely not only on the generosity of our donors, but on the generosity of people to give their time and energy to put these houses up.
How do people volunteer?
Oh, once again, that website that I gave you, wealth of information. This is where you can go to and volunteer. You'll see what the different projects are. We have 4 different projects going on right now. So you get to pick where you want to go, when you want to go. And the important thing to remember is we expect that volunteers have no ability whatsoever. So we're there to help you, train you, and thank you for helping the community out.
Well, even if you're like me and you're all thumbs, right? But, you know, I gather and I understand that people who want these homes have to participate in the process.
Yes, that's part of our process. So in order to participate in purchasing a Habitat home, you have a number of obligations that you have to meet. And one of them is for the family to put in up to 500 hours of volunteer time. And you can do that both on the work site itself. And there's a number of family members who are physically not able to work on a construction site. So they have the opportunities to help in other ways. At our ReStores, for example, which is our retail stores, or in the office or marketing or any other type of way that'll help move the mission of Habitat.
You have a program called the ADU, as in Apple David Union program. What is the ADU program?
Yes, the ADU program. So it's auxiliary dwelling units. They're also known as granny flats, the small little houses in the backyard of people's homes. Right now, about 20% of the new houses that are being put up in LA County are ADUs. So it's an important source of affordable housing stock. And right now, especially in the San Gabriel Valley, we have the ability, we have a number of funding sources in which we can basically put up an ADU, which is a dwelling unit, typically 2 bedrooms or less, 800 square feet or so, and do most of the financing. So it is an incredibly efficient way for low-income families who currently own homes to generate additional income.
All right. One more time, because we're running out of time. Website for those who might want to volunteer, donate, or learn more about the meetings coming up with regard to the homes that you're going to be putting out there in El Sereno.
Sure. SGVHabitat.org. And there you can find out where you can volunteer, how you can participate in the home ownership information courses, or how you can get low interest rate financing for ADUs.
All right. Brian Wong, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. Great the CEO of the Habitat for Humanity for the San Gabriel Valley. All the best. Keep us posted on your projects.
You bet.
And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we look at what could be a mini Habitat for Humanity taking place at Nicholas Junior High School in Fullerton. 8th grade students there just built a beautiful tiny home during their woodworking class. I can't wait to talk to these guys. We'll show you more right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and the Fullerton School District is behind an amazing and really heartwarming project created by middle school kids. Students from Nicholas Junior High School in Fullerton helped to build a tiny home that they hope will eventually house a family in the district experiencing housing insecurity. Those eighth graders are part of this project from the planning to the finishing stages. Let's bring in two members of the Fullerton School District, Pablo Diaz, Director of Innovation and Instruction, and Jeremy Davis, our Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Instructional Support out there. Gentlemen, welcome, and wow, what a project.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Hal.
Tell us a little bit about where you are right now.
So we're actually in the tiny home. We're sitting on a bed that actually rolls out, but it also doubles as a little mini couch. And it's about, 192 square feet.
Wow.
And it has a loft right above us. These are the stairs that go up the loft. And on the other side of us, we have a little mini kitchen, a restroom, and a shower.
Doesn't feel cozy.
Sort of a master... our primary bedroom right around the corner with a queen bed. So queen down below, a queen up top, and then a full that pulls out below us.
That is so cool looking. Let's keep that video up for a moment. Talk to me a little bit about what we're looking at there.
This is actually a wall that separates the primary sleeping area from the rest of the tiny house. So these bars serve as a ladder. And then there's some area for decoration. And then just some large windows on each side. We have a television mounted right behind you. And then we have a television mounted up in the loft as well. So there's some ability for the families to separate a little bit in this small space. And then there's a good kitchen with stove, oven, microwave, and then a full shower and restroom right behind in a small area there as well.
And wow. Let's not forget the AC.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Whose idea was this? I mean, how did this project get started?
It actually came out after the COVID slumber in 2022. Our district wanted to get back to innovating, and our department got together with myself and a few colleagues, and we hashed out some ideas, and we pitched the superintendent along with Jeremy and our other assistant superintendent of human resources. And we pitched this idea of the tiny home, one, because we still had a wood shop in our class or here in our school district, and we knew that the wood shop 2 class could handle this, and as well as knowing that the students can help somebody in our community. So that's kind of how it all began.
I'm gonna date myself here, but when I was in woodworking class a long time ago on a planet far, far away, I remember making little birds out of wood, and that was our project. Nothing like this. I mean, what's the plan for this house? What's the hardest part that the kids have to deal with when dealing with this?
You know, there were a number of things. We got the plans actually from a young lady named Anna White, who has a wonderful blog online. She lives up in Alaska, and she makes tiny homes and furniture. And so we found her plans, and they looked amazing. And our architect said, yeah, these are really good. We're going to make a couple little tweaks for California, but these are great. We can build on this. So really the students were mentored constantly, which was great. We have a company called New Dimensions that helped us out a lot. So things like the high up roof, because we are on a trailer, because we'll tell you in just a minute how we're going to roll this over to another property for where the family's going to live. But you're 12 feet in the air working on the roof. So instead of doing that, the adults would do that. Well, the students would have an area down below where they were learning roofing skills instead. So it was really neat to see the students go through each piece. The teacher, Mr. Vidalis, who was just awarded top middle school teacher in the state this year because of this project, they all built these little tiny 1/12 models. So they all knew, okay, this is how I'm going to frame a window. This is what the walls are going to look like. So each of them had to build a sort of half model before they even got started here on the trailer itself.
This is incredibly impressive. I mean, how valuable are these skills for these kids?
They're enormous. You talk about real world learning in school, and a lot of times it's just talked about. these students are actually doing it. And with all the other interviews that they've been doing, they've gained a lot of other skills in the area of communication. But knowing that their hearts have been changed too, because they know it's all going to one of our homeless families that's identified in our district, it's huge.
You know, I was going to ask you about their reaction, because I would imagine that they have sort of a multi-layered feeling of reactions. It's got to be that they're proud of what they've done. It's got to be that they feel hopeful for somebody else who's going to benefit from what they've done. That it has to have helped their confidence. I mean, there's got to be a whole lot of stuff going on there.
Absolutely. In talking with a few of the students, they've talked about how in the past they were really independent workers and they liked doing projects on their own. But now they understand how important it is to work as a group and to collaborate together. But then there's that big servant leadership piece that I think has been really important for them as they've realized. We actually had three groups. We had our wood shop group, which last year, Mr. Vidalis watched over all of his wood shop one students to see who had the drive and the perseverance and the skills, and asked them, would you like to be a part of wood shop two? We're going to build a home. So there was some choice amongst the students to go up into this other class, this advanced level. But then also we have an ASB group. They're leadership kids, where we've taught them, shouldn't say we, Pablo has taught them some great video editing skills. We've given them some great cameras. They've been documenting the whole process for us. And then over at Parks Junior High, there's a group of students there who are very interested in like a pre-law kind of idea and policy. They were actually trained up by us and coached. They did a ton of research. They made a presentation and they went to the city council here in Fullerton. So girls.
How remarkable. You know, I've got to cut it short. We're running out of time here, but sure. Just a yes or no. We'll do more of this in the future with more of these tiny homes. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Thumbs up. Okay, great. Jeremy Davis, Pablo Diaz, and share with the kids my personal congratulations. This is very impressive, and thank you so much for joining us here. Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.